Good morning, everyone. Well, we've come to the end of the year. Tomorrow is a new year, and we'll be wishing everyone Happy New Year. So I thought it's a time to reflect, perhaps a little on the past, time to reflect on the present, and a time to reflect on the future. But that would be about a 3-hour sermon. So, thinking of the past, how can we reflect on it? I thought we could just think of the words of a song that Joyce and I have been enjoying over the last few weeks. I'm thinking of the past, but I trust that you can identify with this song. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands, from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God, and all my life you've been faithful, and all my life you've been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Well, that's all I'm going to say about the past. I'll go to the future now because I want to spend most of the time focusing on the present. When I was a young man, I used to wonder. Grew up in a Christian home, heard the gospel all my life. Bible was read almost daily. Came to the Lord as a little boy. But as I grew older, I used to wonder, what would it be like to be old, say 80, What would it be like to be looking into the future? Well, I no longer have to wonder. But I can tell you, it's fantastic. The future is bright. And I want to just refer to it in the words of a song. Some of you will remember Squire Parsons. And he wrote a song. Somewhere beyond the grave there is a land where Jesus went to prepare by his own hand. And for the saved by grace there is a resting place. And in a few more days it will be mine. Someone said you can't go back home again. And things will not ever be as good as they've been. I've got news for you. When heaven comes into view, one glimpse, and you'll know the rest. The best is yet to come. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Some call it dreaming. Let me dream on. Some call it paradise. Somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Well, that's my reflection on the future. But we're here at the present day. We're going to wish each other Happy New Year if the Lord leaves us until tomorrow. So I was thinking, what does it mean? What are we really saying when we're saying Happy New Year? So I thought, well, I'll look up in the dictionary and see what happiness, how it's defined. Here's one definition. It says, More than a simply positive mood, happiness is an ongoing state of well-being that encompasses living a good life with a sense of meaning and deep contentment. Another definition, typically happiness is an emotional state characterized by feelings of joy, satisfaction, contentment, and fulfillment. While happiness has many different definitions, it is often described as involving positive emotions and life satisfaction. Third one, a sense of meaning, deep contentment, feelings of joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment, state of being at peace or at rest, living a good life, not wanting anything, satisfied. I ask myself, is it really possible to have this kind of happiness in our confusing and chaotic world? Can I be satisfied? Can I have contentment? I believe it is. God does want us to be satisfied. We read in Psalm 16:11, "You made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Well, fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore sound like the type of happiness we all want. But our world is full of messages telling us how we can be happy. Voices crying out to us, telling us that if we just buy some new things, we'd be happy. New clothes, new car, new boat, new house, golf clubs, or whatever. Or if we just have a new exotic experience, like a vacation. If we get a new job or a new promotion or have more authority in our work or more money, then we could be happy. If we could fall in love with the right person or get accepted to the right university, if we could lose a certain amount of weight, and it goes on and on. All these things supposedly would make us happy. The problem is we know they don't. It's all a lie. But there is one voice that we need to listen to. And I take this from God's word, John 10. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Earlier he had said, "I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Note that. "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So we have to ask ourselves, are we listening to the voices of the world who want to rob us of our happiness? Are we following those who wish to kill and destroy us, not physically, but emotionally and spiritually? Or are we listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd? He has a simple message, simple invitation: follow me. Have you ever noticed how often he would say, "Follow me"? He gives that invitation today, invites us to follow him. So, in search for true happiness, I thought it would be worthwhile to consider the relationship that exists between us as sheep and the Lord as the Good Shepherd. Let's pray before we do that. Lord, I ask you this morning to just give us a sense of your presence with us. I pray that this message might be from you. I pray that each one of us might be encouraged to follow you, to take advantage of all the characteristics of you as the Good Shepherd, to draw close to you. So, Lord, as we enter and come to the end of 1 year and enter a new one, may we truly be satisfied with what you have to give us. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. When we think about the relationship that exists between the sheep and the shepherd, obviously this is a picture for people and for our Lord. It's a relationship between the Lord and us as his sheep. If we go to Luke 15, which is a well-known portion of Scripture, we read, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Here the Bible pictures sheep as animals that are likely to go astray from the place of security and peace. And that's the way other scriptures in the Bible portray the sheep. Psalm 119, 176 says, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." The prophet Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." The apostle Peter said, "For you were straying like sheep." So the biblical picture of sheep is of an animal that's not satisfied with what it has, but the grass over on the other side looks greener. They want to go their own way. Note that the Bible says we are all like straying sheep. Every one of us is like that. We've got that characteristic, that tendency to think that there's better on the other side of the fence. So we picture the sheep as this little animal that likes to go astray, always looking for something better. Now let's consider the biblical picture of the good shepherd. We find that he goes, in the portion that we read, we find that he goes after the sheep that is lost until he finds it. And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders and carries it home. Other scriptures again endorse this picture of the good shepherd. Isaiah 40 says, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." In Jeremiah, the Bible refers to the good shepherd as shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Ezekiel talks about providing habitations. The good shepherd provides habitations where the sheep can be rested or where the sheep can be fed. And the good shepherd rescues the sheep when they are scattered. He makes them lie down and rest. He provides security for them. And as we read in John, he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. In fact, he has laid down his life for the sheep. The biblical picture of a shepherd, then, is of a person who deeply cares for the sheep, who provides security, provision, rest, and personal concern for them. The shepherd has an emotional closeness to the sheep and an intimacy with them. Remember now, when we talk about the shepherd, we're talking about the Lord Jesus. We're talking about the sheep. We're talking about us. Modern-day farmer might not have this individual connection with his sheep, but it was different back in the days of Jesus. The shepherd would know each individual sheep, and he would be sure that each individual sheep was where it should be, in a place of security. I never had sheep when we were farming, but we had young calves, and I can assure you, even though I was a young boy, I knew every calf. There'd be some 25 come for feeding, and sometimes my dad would say, "Were they all there?" "Yes." "How do you know?" "Because I know the cattle. I know them." I think of Jesus. He knows us individually. He knows us, everything about us. As a shepherd, he cares about us. The shepherd would know if one was missing, he would search for it until he found it and rescue it. And then he'd rejoice that he'd found his lost sheep. Notice where he put that lost sheep. He put it over his shoulders and held on to it, just a place of loving strength and care. And then he'd come home, and notice what he said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep." Notice that closeness. Didn't send out a bulletin and say the lost sheep has been found. But he said to his friends, "I have found my sheep, that was lost. You know, we believers who meet here at RCF, we don't meet simply because we have similar religious beliefs, but we are a group of individual lost sheep that Jesus himself found and has drawn together this morning. But perhaps you're thinking at this point, well, what does this really have to do with happiness? If you read Psalm 23, I'm going to read it. We know it well, but the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, or it could be waters of rest. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or it could be walk through the valley of deep darkness, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, as I read that the other day to myself, I noticed more than ever before the connection. He makes me. He leads me. And that goes on throughout the whole 23rd Psalm, showing that there's this very close connection between the shepherd and me, between the Lord Jesus as the shepherd and me as that lost sheep. Let's unpackage the psalm a little bit more, not to go into it in a lot of detail, but notice what he says. I shall not need. No, that's not what he says. I shall not want. What's that mean? It means he's satisfied. He's content. He's happy. His shepherd makes him rest and provides provision for him. His shepherd leads him. His shepherd makes him do things. He enjoys the green pastures and the waters of rest. You know, green pastures in the Bible are associated with, Joel tells us this, Joel chapter 2. Green pastures coexist with a full yield of fruit, the fig tree and the vine. We can be satisfied. Jesus came to give life and to give it abundantly. We can be satisfied. We can be happy. He counts on his shepherd to refresh him when needed. Oh, David was not denying that there would be times when he would stray a bit, but he knew that he had a shepherd who would draw him back. He knows the shepherd will be there when he has to make decisions. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, or right paths. And Ezekiel told us that a good shepherd provides knowledge and understanding, gives wisdom. David is not naive. He knows there will be valleys of deep darkness and enemies. And I suppose as most of us look back on the year, we can think of times that we went through some deep valleys. But David knew that he would be with him in those deep valleys. And I hope that each one of us, as we go through the deep valleys of life, will sense the presence of the Lord, and that will allow us to be at peace and to be content and to be happy. A long time ago, Jesse Dixon wrote a song. One verse of it says, whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever be, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean, earth, and sky. We've got one with us going through the deep waters. Isaiah 26 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. David gets happiness, contentment, and satisfaction from knowing that his shepherd has made arrangements for him to live in the Lord's house for eternity. He not only had everything he needed now, but he has the security and the promise of a future, a great future, as we indeed do too. So where is true happiness, satisfaction, and contentment to be found in 2024? In enjoying a close relationship with Jesus, our shepherd, listening to his voice and following him. Jesus says he is our good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, he lays down his life for the sheep. It costs him his life to rescue us. Now we hear his voice, and he calls us by name and leads us out. We as sheep follow him. Why? Because we know his voice. We're close enough to him to know his voice. Our shepherd says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And again, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Note the closeness between the Lord and us. But note that it's built on the listening and hearing that goes on between him and us. Proverbs 1:33 says, but whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread or of disaster. Psalm 66:19 says, but truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Psalm 4:3, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Psalm 63 and verse 5, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When we listen and hear his voice and follow him, we find ourselves in the green pastures and waters of rest. We shall not want. Charles Spurgeon said, as we internalize scripture, take it to heart, and apply it to our lives, the heart begins to desire what God desires. When we desire what God desires, we're happy. This close relationship with Jesus as our shepherd allows us to look forward to the next life with joyful anticipation. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness when I awake. I shall be satisfied with your likeness. And then, blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. Not only is God going to make us satisfied now, but we're going to be satisfied for all eternity with him. Perhaps today, this morning, there's someone present, and you can't really say, the Lord is my shepherd. Perhaps you're interested, but you're not convinced that you need the good shepherd. You have many reasons why you don't believe. I don't know everybody here, but I just wonder if there would be somebody here who has never been able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Maybe you've seen poor examples among those who claim to be Christians. Or maybe you're the type that only believes what you can see or what you can understand. Or you're afraid of becoming part of a cult. Or you have a commitment to some traditional beliefs or church that you don't want to give up. But if you're honest with yourself, you know that you're searching for something that would give lasting peace and rest and happiness. You would like the rest, satisfaction, and peace that the Good Shepherd gives. If there's somebody like that here this morning, just let me refer you to some verses from God's Word. A very simple verse. Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Rest. The come suggests that there's a distance between you and the shepherd. And today, perhaps today is the day that that distance will be closed. It could be the day you surrender to Him and you begin to enjoy the happiness and rest that only He gives. Or perhaps there's someone here today who could say, I used to follow Him. I used to be close to the shepherd, but now I've wandered away. Or someone who is here today who's discouraged and saying, I've tried, but I'm finding it hard. You may be tempted to walk away from the shepherd. He says to you, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You have perhaps noted that when you first came to the Good Shepherd, He gave you rest. But now as a believer, He invites you to take His yoke and find rest by learning from Him, becoming like Him, gentle and lowly. Sometimes the road back to this is not easy. There will be obstacles, but the Good Shepherd is waiting, like the father of the prodigal son, waiting with outstretched arms, saying, come back, come home. Will you return? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Happy New Year. I'm going to close in prayer. Father, as we close this session, we just thank You that You love us even though we were like lost sheep that went our own way. I thank You that You provided the Good Shepherd who would lay down His life for us, who would search until He found us and would carry us home rejoicing that He had found His sheep that was lost. Now, Father, I pray that as we go into the new year, we will go with a sense of Your presence and of all the things, the joy and peace that You offer us. May we avail ourselves of it by staying close to You. May we enjoy peace and satisfaction and rest as we go through this new year. I ask for each person here. I ask for those who are not here with us today that usually are. I pray, Lord, for the families of each person here. I pray that we may all live our lives in 2024 to glorify You until You come to take us home. I pray this in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I see we have a little bit of time, and I didn't share a couple of the songs that I wanted to share with you. So I will just share a little bit more of what awaits us. Most of you will be familiar with this one by Bart Millard, who said, I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by Your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when Your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine, surrounded by Your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for You, Jesus, or in awe You be still? Awe of You be still. Will I stand in Your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever worship You. I can only imagine. Yea, I can only imagine. What a future we have. Let me just read one more. I don't know who wrote this. Ivan Parker sings it often. He says, well, I don't know why I become a little shy when I get around a whole lot of people. And I can't figure out why I never can shout about the love that floods my soul. Well, I must confess, I can't express the feelings deep inside me. But the things I know and cannot show one day will overflow. I'm going to let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm going to get beside myself when I get beside the king that day. I'm going to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm going to get carried away when I get carried away. Thank you.